I could listen to this all day long. We need to do a Saturday Little Richard Hour. This is like, I'm not trying to put these two things together, but musically speaking, when Michael Jackson passed away and when Prince passed away, I think I spent weeks just like nonstop. That's all I had on my playlist. So I have a feeling this is going to continue with this. All right, so we've got our startup showcase portion of the show. I could try to have him sing it like Little Richard, but I don't know if that's going to go that well. Pranav, we have Glyph on the show here. Are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Of course. How do you pronounce your name, just so I make sure I don't mess that up?
Pranav.
Okay, cool. So why don't we give us the 1 minute pitch on what Glyph is, and then we'll go into all the details.
Absolutely. So Glyph is a direct-to-consumer shoe company founded at Cornell University. We make the only pair of shoes anyone needs to own, and we do it using really cool digital knitting technology. And for us, at the root of everything we do is really minimalism. It's kind of a philosophy I grew up with, something I learned from my grandfather, who just was a guy who came from Ames but was really happier with fewer things, and he passed that on to me. And so when I was a grad student in New York, didn't have a lot of money, lived in a small apartment, was traveling a lot, really just wanted this one really versatile pair of shoes, and I couldn't find that. And that was really the genesis of Glyph. And so the thing with Glyphs is, like, we have people wearing them from everywhere to, like, you know, we had a guy wearing them to their own wedding, all the way down to people just wearing them to the beach, go to the convenience store, whatever, super casual. And we style them that way. You know, they don't smell, so you can wear them with or without socks. You can wear them in the rain. You can wear them in any weather, any social situation. So that's what Glyphs are.
So the analogy that comes to mind, obviously, is Allbirds. And I think, and there's probably some major differences. What would you say if someone said, "Are you the Allbirds of this?" Like, what would be your response?
I think we're a shoe company. Allbirds is a shoe company. I think we have a very specific philosophy in different customer segments. So we have a lot of our customers, like our Allbirds are kind of on the casual side. So we get a lot of customers that are a little bit more style conscious, and then maybe you're like dressing up a little bit more for work every day. So we're not really like big with the tech crowd, to be honest. Like, we're not a San Francisco company. Like, we do well in places like New York, LA, Chicago, where people are, you know, they want to wear loafers, and so that it's a little bit of a different vibe.
Totally, yeah. Well, thank you for sending me a pair, by the way. That was very nice of you. No, they're very good looking shoes. They're well designed. I guess one of my questions ultimately in this is like, what does this market look like to you? Because I think when we get into shoe companies, there's sort of the, we are luxury, we are casual, we are athletic, we are this, we're that. You're kind of a hybrid, like across all of those things. And like, I would say, based on the experience of wearing them, I would say I would not wear them if I was going to go on like a mile run. I probably wouldn't wear them if I was like, I mean, you said someone wore them their wedding. So I mean, you can't, I don't know if I would wear them for my, I guess I'm a leather guy, so maybe I wouldn't look at them for the wedding, but I can see you pulling it off. I could see you wearing it and going into a run. I could see, you know, there's, it crosses over a lot of areas.
Yeah, I think the shoe market's interesting, and it's hard to delineate where one kind of shoe starts and another leaves off these days, but it's a huge market. It's $93 billion. So it's really just about owning your value prop and having your part of the market and doing that better than anybody else. And so for us, it's, we get a lot of people that travel a lot. We get a lot of people that are philosophically aligned with what we're doing. We get a lot of people where their days are variable, and they may not know what's going to happen. Like, they might have a social event. They might have to, like, walk for a while. They might be going to the airport, stuff like that. So that's kind of where we live and breathe. And functionally, it's like minimalism is different for every person, right? So we design those shoes where they could be your only pair of shoes. And for a lot of people, that's what we hear they do. A lot of people, it's like, you know, you have your excited going out shoes, you wear Glyphs for everything else, and you have these really shoes that you love for going out, and you just have those. But I think for us, we do really well because we fill the gaps. And so you don't have all, like, just like, you know, 30 pairs of shoes you're not wearing. I think we help people with that.
No, I totally align with that. I guess let's get into the picture, because people can check out the term sheet and everything at Republic. Republic.co/Glyph. That is GLYPH. Tell me a little bit about, you know, sort of the revenue numbers, the actual business, how things are going, what people are saying about your shoes. Just give us the kind of the rundown.
Yeah, absolutely. So we started really small. We just went, like, word of mouth, telling people about the shoes, sold out our first batch that way. And then, you know, it was really just friends and friends of friends. And then we did our first 30K that way. And now we've done, you know, since then 300K. So we really scaled up in the last, since launching in October, and have just sold out three times now. So keeping up with our demand has been the biggest challenge. And, you know, Republic was so great. Like, we were kind of honestly skeptical of this equity crowdfunding thing. Like, I kind of heard of it, you know, but wasn't that interested. And then what happened was we had a customer reach out, and he ended up, he's a guy in Boston. He's one of our mentors now, and he ended up loving the shoes so much he invested $100,000. So we're like, wow, this is crazy.
Shoes.
Like, yeah. Yeah, and, you know, I think we plan on making him a lot of money. But so hopefully they'll be, you know, the best shoes you ever got. But that really inspired us, like, okay, you know, and we've gotten demographic info about our customers, and, you know, we do get a lot of, like, well-heeled professionals. And so we were like, okay, like, why don't we build a community this way? And instead of just giving all the equity to traditional Silicon Valley investors, why don't we give it to our actual community who are passionate about our philosophy, who want to get involved? Like, let's do that. And so then we launched our Republic about a week ago.
Yeah, it seems like things are going well so far. You've got about 70 days left, or no, I'm sorry, 120 days left. You've got 68 investors, and it looks like you've raised about almost 40,000. So things are going pretty well to get started here. Tell me a little bit about, like, the margin. So you sell these shoes at what price? How much do you, you know, roughly speaking, has it costed to make them? Obviously, that's not at scale. Just trying to understand a little bit of, like, what the metrics look like.
Yeah, for sure. So we tend to be pretty conservative, and where things really shake down, you'll see, is on the customer acquisition side. But just to give you an idea, so, like, you know, we sell the shoes for $125, and the whole, you know, manufacturing, shipping it to people, we've gotten that down to about $39, and so the rest is what we pay on the customer acquisition cost. And we make sure that every shoe we sell is profitable. I think that's, like, been the big point of debate in the direct consumer world. There's a lot of these companies who are trying to grow and sell at a loss. We don't do that.
I think that that's something that I would foresee changing in the future for people, not for you, for people, because that's, in my opinion, what's gotten most of these companies in trouble, and they're raising capital at an obscene number that's not actually sustainable. The reason I asked you that was because it looks to me from the campaign you're running at Republic that you guys are fairly heavy in the math when it comes to, you know, understanding your customer, understanding the lifetime value of the customer, which you guys have your 4.7 LTV to CAC ratio. Do you have how many different color SKUs are you at right now?
So we just have three colors for each gender. Keep it really simple.
Yep.
And once we verify something that's killing it, then we move on to the next thing and experiment with that.
Yeah, no, that's kind of what I was going on, is, like, I could see people buying, you know, one pair rolling with, you know, some shoes, Nike, I might have, like, four different styles, things, they're all different. But then some of them I wear a lot and some of them just rot in the closet. This is something where I could see someone buying one pair and riding it, or maybe two colors, you know, dark and light, depending on how they dress. And then from there, it's just like wearing it until they wear out and then just re-upping like that. I could see you having, and I'm not suggesting going subscription, but I could see a subscription-y model just in the behavior.
Totally. So what we do with that actually is we have a looping model where people, whenever they're done with the shoes, you know, it could be 6 months, could be a year, they can mail them back. We'll recycle them, do the right thing for the planet, and they'll get a discount on their next pair. And we do that instead of subscriptions because, as like a customer, I was always frustrated by subscriptions because I don't know, like, when I need the next one. Even, like, with something like razors, I've struggled with that. You know,
yeah.
I just get annoyed. And so we're just like, let's just, like, let people pick when they want to do it. And the other issue I always had is, like, you know, like, when I was, like, younger, I'd buy shoes, like, Sperry's or something like that. And you're just, you know, they're going to go on sale, right? So you're just waiting, and it's really annoying. You don't want to pay full price. So for us, we just give people the best price we can. And then whenever they're ready for their next pair, it's kind of like a mini sale for you. And you don't have to wait for Christmas or something like that. You just can get new shoes when you need new shoes.
Here's a free. Everyone loves a free tip, right? Here's a free tip for you. And if you guys are already doing it, then obviously, you know, it's no help to you whatsoever. I would lead with this. I think this is, it reminds me of this morning before I packed up and headed to the studio. There was a Bombas, the socks. And it was like, oh, we gave away 30 million socks this year. They led with that. I actually think that this is an incredibly novel approach to basically say we built shoes for you for a certain period of time and we want them back. And if you give them back to us, we'll essentially pay you for them by giving you a $20 gift card or whatever for your next pair. Like, I 100% think that is a marketing campaign that would be incredibly successful.
that's good to know. I think you're right about that. I think like we have all these other things we want to say, and that gets lost, but we have seen a lot of people using that model.
I've never seen anyone with shoes who actually does that. Like, it's one thing to say, hey, we're healthy, social good. This is totally different. This is like legit. Like, you buy this pair of shoes from us. When you want your next pair, you just send them to us and we send another pair back. I think that's a brilliant model, and would be, I mean, almost every Bomba Socks commercial I see is leading with, like, you buy a pair, we give a pair. This is the same thing, only different, but same impact, essentially.
Yeah. I think the challenging thing for a lot of companies would be, so we developed our shoe to be fully recyclable, every single part, which, like, that's not the case for the majority of shoes. So they would end up throwing a lot of the shoe away. For us, like, we're just big sustainability guys, and so we kind of wanted to do that from the start, for them to be recyclable, and then we realized, like, hey, we can work with a recycling partner and recycle them in a more effective way, and that's kind of how all of that started.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. I think it's interesting. Okay, and so to wrap a bow on this one, how much is the investment you're asking minimum? How do people do it? What's the deal?
Yep, so, you know, it's all on the site, so it's republic.co/glyph, G-L-Y-P-H. The minimum investment is $100, and we're at a $9 million valuation cap with a 10% discount, so we kind of tried to stay just pretty standard terms, nothing too tricky, and that's kind of where we're at.
Very cool. Well, thank you very much for coming on and doing the pitch. I like them. Thank you for the shoes. I think it's a really good idea. I think there's a lot of ways to market this. I love that you understand the LTV to CAC. I think that's like the one thing, as you said yourself, that a lot of these e-commerce don't quite understand the value of. So best of luck to you. Where do people go to buy the shoe?
Glyph.earth.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Take good luck, and obviously let us know if there's anything else we can do to help.
Thank you for having me. Take care.
All right. You too. Thanks. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back right after this.